Its current state for Tuesday last week, the city of East Lansing announced the formation of a financial health review team. The panel's being asked to review the city's financial stability and to make recommendations on new funding sources and revenue options. Now, they'll also weigh in on future expenditure needs in the city. A big priority will be how to deal with around $100 million in anticipated shortfalls in pension payments and retiree health benefits. To learn more about what the city hopes the committee will accomplish, we've invited two guests to discuss the city of East Lansing's financial future. Joining us, Mark Meadows, the city council member who serves as mayor of East Lansing. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
And we also have with us the chairman of the new East Lansing Financial Health Review Team, Mike Mulquin. Good to have you with us, Mike.
Good to be here.
Mark Meadows, you've commented that East Lansing needs to hit the reset button. What do you mean exactly?
Well, I think that, you know, these are issues that are, especially the financial issues, are issues that have built up over a long period of time. And in creating the financial health team, obviously we're not going to be able to change the world overnight. But by having this financial health team examine financial issues that are facing the city, such as the pension issue that you identified, the unfunded liability associated with that, the downturn in the value of our property within the city and the impact that has on the annual budget and predictability of revenues within the community. Those are things that will take a while to correct, and we want to hit the reset button, find out where we should be, and then move towards being where we should be to have our citizens in the community be confident that adequate revenues will be there to provide the services they've gotten used to.
Mike Mulquin, by way of introduction, you're a former chief general counsel for the Michigan Municipal Employees Retirement System, a former division coordinator in the Michigan Department of Attorney General, and a former Michigan assistant solicitor general. Is it fair to say this $100 million in unfunded liabilities is the 800-pound gorilla in the room at this point?
It's an 800-pound gorilla, but there's a number of other giraffes and similar creatures that all have long-term implications to them.
Sounds like a colorful landscape here. Now, news reports have suggested that cost-cutting has run its course, that there's some agreement, I guess, that the city has to embark on a search for new revenue. Is it fair to put it that way, Mark Meadows?
I'd say that rather than new revenue, a larger revenue, and maybe using the same resources that we've had in the past, but maybe with a fresh look that this financial health team will take a look at. For instance, you think about the fees that we charge for, say, rental housing inspections. You know, are we really recovering all the money that we spend on that? Because under state statutes, we're allowed to do that. But in the past, basically what we've done is we've divided the salary of an individual by the amount of hours they spend in a particular, you know, activity, and then decided that is how we're going to create a fee to charge for that.
A cost-benefit kind of dynamic?
Exactly. Looking at the whole cost of it, you know, how much does it cost to put this person in an office and pay for the lights and make sure they have phone, you know, connections, things like that? Are we really recovering all the money? That's just one revenue source, and I'm just using that as an example. But we're looking at how to make sure that our revenues are appropriate and that the services that we provide and the regulation that we provide within the community is adequately paid for.
Is an attempt to override the Headley Amendment on the table, Mike Mulquin?
I really can't express an opinion on that. The committee was just formed a week ago, and next week we'll be having our first meeting and begin sessions with city officials, the city manager, the director of finance, and others, where we will obtain a much fuller picture.
Right now, the city is below the legal maximum, but the Headley Amendment still imposes a ceiling on that.
It does, and we are at a point where we've had a couple of rollbacks based on Headley. And we are, because of the increase in property values that we're projecting for this year, everybody in the city got their new assessment yesterday, so we'll see how that works out. But we're sort of on the edge. And one of the reasons that that has been a charge to the financial health team is because we think that there's a great possibility that we'll have to roll back again this year. And so then the question becomes, should we have a Headley override if we have to roll back our revenues and in essence, reduce our revenues or keep them static because of the Headley limitations that are out there?
Would a public vote be required to
absolutely.
Override?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mike Moklin, where do you feel the residents of East Lansing are on this issue? If you asked them to write down their top priorities for city business, city government business, would you say that this, what we're talking about here, is high on the list for the average East Lansing resident?
I would believe it would be high on any citizen's list. I'm not a resident of East Lansing. I have lived in East Lansing. I live in Meridian Township, so I'm very familiar with the strong reactions that can occur when you, in fact, are opening up for discussion, not only a level of services, but then the necessary resources to properly deliver those services.
How do you feel about service cuts, Mark Meadows? I mean, as somebody in this discussion has commented, we need to take cost cutting and reduce that as a priority here in terms of coming to grips with this.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we've had this discussion in the community a number of times because of the impact of a reduction in statutory revenue sharing and constitutional revenue sharing because of the downturn in retail sales within the state of Michigan. And when I was on the council before, we would take this issue around to neighborhood associations and say, hey, we're in tough shape this year. We may have to cut some services. I cannot tell you how many times people would stand up in the audience and say, we moved here for the services. If it comes down to that, I'd rather have my taxes raised. Because services are important to the people in this community. And what we've done over the past few years is we haven't rehired when somebody retires. We've made it a bigger job for every employee to produce the same level of services that the city has had in the past. And we've run out of options. And one of the reasons that this financial health team was put together was so that we could explore what the services are. And are there really services that maybe we shouldn't be providing or that we should provide at a reduced level? Not every community comes out and picks up your Christmas trees. Not every community has leaf collection every year. Not every community has provided at various times free parking within the community or in the downtown area for various reasons.
But that's more cost-cutting, though.
It's also revenue cutting in some respects. Some are cost cutting, some are revenue cutting, some of the things that we do, and should we do them differently? There's a proposal in the community right now that the Transportation Commission or maybe it's the DDA is taking a look at to extend the hours that we charge for parking. But I think that there is going to be a reaction in the community that says, hey, when I go downtown at 6 p.m., I don't want to have to pay for parking. Mm-hmm. I like being able to park on the street. If I want to be in a lot, I do still pay for parking. But people will react to that type of thing.
We're talking with East Lansing Mayor Mark Meadows and the chairman of the city's new financial health review team, Mike Moklin, about the city's future budget challenges and the comprehensive look at revenue that they are going to be taking. You excited about this possibility, Mike Moklin? I mean, this is a big... This sounds like a big, difficult challenge here, and I've surmised here that it's tempting, really tempting, for elected officials to kick this can down the road here. It looks like you're making an effort here to really confront something really important.
I think it is a challenge. I think it's facilitated by the fact that the team is comprised of 11 individuals who all have a different perspective and come from different disciplines. And so I think there is going to be a robust discussion and review. And yes, it will be challenging, but a lot of times the most meaningful things you can do are responding to challenges, and certainly the issues that are involved are issues that are repeated not only throughout the state of Michigan, but really throughout the country.
Mark Meadows, I don't think you've been on the program once here in recent months where we haven't brought up the issue of tax incentives for businesses. Where is your head on that, and what role does business tax incentives play in this initiative here with the financial health team?
Well, the financial health team has been asked to take a look at developing a program that would guide us in using tax incentives to encourage development in East Lansing, where it would be necessary, where it would be useful. As we look at that, I think tax incentives, are appropriate in some circumstances. I certainly wouldn't want to, sort of surrender all our ammunition in terms of attracting the right type of business to the city of East Lansing. By the same token, within this last election, there certainly was an issue as to whether tax incentives were properly being used. Places like Grand Rapids, Chicago, almost every other major community throughout the country has a set of standards that they use to apply and utilize tax incentives for development, to encourage development within the community, and we don't. We don't have those, and so we
isn't
have.
Isn't there more sentiment on the council, though, right now to kind of send the pendulum in the other direction, become less generous with tax incentives?
Yes, I would say, well, if in specific circumstances. I mean, I think that the discussion involving tax incentives has circled around rental properties and sort of developments that are designed specifically for rental purposes. And do we really need to do that? If you look at, the question of tax incentives for a rental development on Grand River, really, is there any question that that place is going to be full immediately because of its proximity to campus? So that's sort of the debate that has circled around the use of tax incentives in certain circumstances. By the same token, if the right project comes along, if we, as we've indicated, would like to see more diversity in the downtown area, if the right project came down that would provide for condominium project or senior housing or something like that, I think every member of council has indicated that they're willing to look at tax incentives to encourage that.
Mike Mulquin, do we know, would the unfunded liability rise if nothing were done? I mean, would this $100 million just get deeper? Do we know that?
We know that with a certainty. It's just as you don't pay your home mortgage, that is added to the total. It doesn't go away. There'll be additional interest expenses that you'll incur if your taxes have gone up and you're not paying into your escrow to discharge those.
How dramatically would that increase? Is that known?
Well, you can forecast what it is, but here's the significant point. There really is no discretion to not make pension contributions in the public sector. In our 1963 Michigan Constitution, there's a specific provision that was put in place. That provision not only says that pensions are contractual benefits which cannot be impaired or diminished, but often overlooked is the second paragraph of it, which basically says that each year, current service, meaning benefits that have been earned that year, must be funded during that year. So that's a constitutional
obligation.
Command.
We've got just a few seconds left. Mark Meadows, remind us of the timeline that the financial health team is looking at.
Well, the number one priority is this pension issue. So we've asked them to have a report and recommendation to us by July 31st. We realize that this is, there are a lot of people with different disciplines on this committee, and I know Mike's going to try to get everybody together as often as possible to address these issues. They've got the authority to bring in some other experts to address the committee as well. And we're trying to get that in something in hand by July 31st. But by the end of the year, all of these other items will be subject to a report and recommendation as well.
We've been talking about the work of the new East Lansing Financial Health Review Team with the panel's chairman, Mike Moquin, and East Lansing Mayor Mark Meadows. The team will meet for the first time on next Monday. Thanks for joining us today. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.